start. Welcome to this afternoon session. Our first speaker is Dinesh Kakar, and the title is Multi-Zeta Relations and Motifs for Function Fields.
Thanks very much. Thanks to the organizers for the invitation and for arranging a nice meeting where I'm learning a lot from various talks and talking to people. So, thank you. I'm going to give you a story about what's the situation in about multi-zeta values in function fields. So let me begin by setting up the notation and analogies. So instead of rational number field Q, we can take any function field or a finite field, but we mostly will restrict to a QT and rational function field, and this will be characteristic P. Now usually you take Archimedean place here as a place at infinity, but you can take any place infinity here. In the case of FQT also you can take any place, but I am going to take the usual place corresponding to the degree, so that the ring of integer becomes FQT here. So these are the things which have poles only here, in general I will call this A, and that corresponds to the usual integer Z. Right? So the integers correspond to the polynomials in this case. If I am looking at general function field, is this. Most of the talk I will be talking about this case, but sometimes I will say general case and I will use this notation, but otherwise this notation would mean that. Okay?
Yeah. K is a finite extension over
F. I forgot to say that. So this is K over, I should have written FP. So I said function field over finite field, FQ of characteristic P. Right? So this is a function field of one variable over characteristic P. Okay? So it's over FQ and this is FQT. Now usually you take completions of Q, which will be like real numbers. If you do completion here with the usual valuation, you will get Laurent series. So Laurent series will play a role of real numbers. I will just write this as a K infinity, so completion at infinity. When you do want to do algebra and analysis both, and you want to complete an algebraic closed field, you do only degree 2 extension there. Here, actually, it's much more thing you need is this extension algebraic is degree infinity. That has, this is a quite difference from the classical case, but it has advantages that there are any rank lattices. So there are these Rinfeld monoids or motifs will actually exist in any rank. There is no classical analog in that case. No, it's okay. Good question. So in characteristic zero, it would be Puiseux series. That's Newton's theorem, right? In characteristic P, it's much more complicated. So Puiseux series are not enough. You need something called Hahn series. And you need a condition on this Hahn series. So these are infinitely ordered. There are lots of 1 over p to the i's in the denominators. And then you need a... So that's too big, and then you have to cut it down. So the description is more complicated in this case. So it's not Puiseux series, but for practical purposes, you will be dealing with finite extensions here, and then you can basically deal with Puiseux series. So now, instead of z star, which you can think of units or signs, you notice that a star, if you take, which in this case it's just FQ star. In both cases it's just FQ star, and that says that analog of, if you count the number of signs or units, it's 2 here, and many times, so the multiples of 2 are what we call even. So if we call what is called even here, is multiples of Q minus 1. So multiples of Q minus 1 plays a role of even. So if Q is equal to 2, everything is even. Q is equal to 3 is very much like the usual case, but Q is big, then there is lots of, so to say, only one congruence class even, and most of the other are not. Now, actually, if you compare the constants in K infinity and versus K, there is a difference. So many times this degree, if infinity is rational, things are better. So degree infinity is equal to 1. Then the signs in and the units, so to say, agree, and they are Q minus 1. So I will mostly restrict to degree infinity equal to 1. Okay, so having said that, so next analogy which I want to look at is, let's see. So the positive numbers here. So positive numbers. This is a sort of choice of sign. Positive integers, so to say, are positive rational numbers. So here you will say monic. Though it's not a very good thing, because positives are closed under addition and multiplication, monics are only closed under multiplication and addition of different degrees, right? So there is some difference already, but that's what we are going to do. We are going to take positive to be monic. And then we go to the sort of the next level of analogies. And so this is the first thing. So now we have this basic thing which you do in cyclotomic number theory or basic number theories. You look at nth power maps, and its torsion is the roots of unity. So it turns out that the correct thing to do for in our case is, so let me just do A equals to endomorphisms of additive group. So the endomorphisms additive groups are very small in characteristic zero, in characteristic P it's a big non-commutative ring. And there are lots of choices to do that. So for example, I'm going to choose the simplest choice, what is called Carlitz module, FQT. So I'll write, so A goes to X goes to some rho A of X, that's the notation I'm going to use. So for example, T goes to CT of X, which is multiplication by T and plus provenience. Okay? And then I just tell you what happens for T, but we extend it FQ linearly and by composition to all polynomials. And this is called Carlitz module, which is denoted by C, and which you can think of as an analog of playing the role of multiplicative group there. So there is an exponential function classically. Exponential C is a function which has nice property with this respect to the map, which is e to the nz is e to the z to the n, which looks trivial because the notation has been made such that this is looks trivial, but that's a functional equation. And we have exponential function here, which has properties e of az is ca of ez. So instead of being a monomial in ez, it will be a polynomial in ez. It's a FQ linear polynomial of this kind of form. Now if I tell you, once I tell you that, and if I tell you this t is equal to this thing, you can solve this just like you do for a differential equation. And instead of e to the z, which is, of course you have to normalize it further, is z to the n more in factorial, what you get here is e to the z is summation z to the q to the n by solving this equation is over dn, and let me just write down what this dn is because it comes up all the time. It's t to the q to the n minus t, t to the q to the n minus t to the q, t to the q to the n minus t. This can be said as a product of all monic polynomials of degree n, and it's also thought of as a factorial of q to the n, just like that. So it's what is called Carlitz factorial of q to the n. And so that is the exponential. This exponential, just like if you look at, so if you have a multiplicative group, if you put that equal to 1, you get 2 pi I z. Is this the corresponds to e to the z is equal to 1, right? Here we are looking at the additive group, so I will write it as a pi theta a. I mean, it's a fact that the kernel is just multiple of a by, it's just rank 1 lattice, e to the z is equal to 0. So that's an analog of pi, just like 2 pi I, its square is a real number, it's a complex number, its square will become q minus 1 power will be to say real in this case. So that is an analog of 2 pi I. Okay, and once I said that, actually this, because this is a non-arcane analysis, you can get a formula for e to the, this equality is of course was nonsense, easy, okay, so there is no equality here. I mean, I was saying easy and then I was writing a column there. So it's easy. Once I said that it is this thing, it's very easy to see that it's the same as z times product of 1 minus 0 by tilde a, and you just take a not equal to 0 in a, which is FQT. Okay, so there's a product formula also for this exponential. And for example, just like you get roots of unity by putting 2 pi n over k in here, you take pi tilde divided by polynomial, that's the torsion point of this action, and that's analog of roots of unity, roots of zero, so to say, because of translation, and that is, it gives you Abelian extensions. So, it's well known that number theory, even this class field theory over the function fields and the number fields can be developed uniformly. What you can do more with this is you can do it explicitly. So, it's like a cyclotomic function, the things are just 2 pi over k, and as I give you, there is even a Kronecker-Weber theorem once you do things appropriately and so on. So this allows you to do explicit class field theory as a base in rank 1. And we are going to be interested. So then I should say, I will write it here. So typically you have Z1, the Tate motive, that is basically the analog of that is C. So I don't have time to explain what are the T motives of Greg Anderson completely, so I'm just going to do it with analogies. So this is sort of the structure you can see in the tape module, like lattice and the exponential and multiplication. So that is C, and there is this category of modules where you can take tensor product. So this becomes not something like this, but something more complicated with endomorphism of the GN with certain conditions. And concretely, it can be done as some modules, finitely generated K, T, tau modules, where T is another variable, where let me say Kx tau modules, such that finitely generated over Kx and K tau, Kx tau is a non-commutative ring with the usual, if you think of Frobenius as a tau, you will know immediately the commutation relations, and then the T minus X acts real potently on the Lie level and so on. So there are some conditions where this very concrete object is T module, and then the tensor product is just tensor product of lower Kt there, and you get some object called C tensor N, which should be thought of
Motive
Z to
Zn.
Okay?
Yeah. So in the product of the exponential.
Yes.
So yeah, A is not zero. So the A runs all integers.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
A is in A is in A, right? I mean, A is in A.
Ah, polynomial.
In this case it's just polynomial.
Okay.
In this case it's just polynomial. So you know I'm doing some things generally and some things not generally.
Okay.
So actually, if I do it correctly, instead of this, if I write down a correct Frankhorn module, it's actually can take a lattice here and it works in very much generality with any rank and so on. But it's just FQT for our purpose. Okay.
So what Pike-Whittle was?
I did not write down the formula, but it's explicit, right? I mean, once I write down something, it's just a generator of.
So it's like the pi up there.
Yeah, it's analog of 2 pi I.
Being a root of e to the z minus 1, and you have the corresponding ones for the a.
That's right. It's just a generator. Just like 2 pi I is defined up to plus minus 1, there is a Q star ambiguity here.
Oh, okay.
You just choose something, okay? So it's in the right hand, you can just write down. Okay, so now let's talk about zeta functions. So this is sort of the basic set of analogies you keep in mind. This is the diagram. Now zeta functions, most of you are familiar with the zeta function coming from algebraic geometry, which is what you do is instead of Riemann zeta function or Dedekind zeta function, which is summation 1 over norm of non-trivial ideals to the S, you use the same definition if you have a function field like affine curve like A, and you use the same definition. Now this is what is called Artin-Weyl type of zeta function. Artin-Hasse-Weyl, I don't remember the history exactly. I think Artin was looking at this first for function fields. But this is a complex value, this is characteristic zero thing, and it's just a rational function. So for example, if I take FQT, so I can define it in general, but if I take FQT, I just get 1 over 1 minus Q to the 1 minus S. Right? It's just a very simple rational function in Q to the minus S, and its theory is well understood. So it becomes very interesting when higher genus and so on, but we are not going to do that, so we are not going to look at this, we are going to look at something else which is much more richer transcendental function, which was looked by at Kravitz. So I just have zeta S again, and you take whole 1 over A to the S, just like Riemann's zeta function, you take positive integers, so you take monic polynomials. So I'll write that as a plus for monic, okay, a plus, and this just makes, so this is a polynomial. Here it's a number, so you could raise it to the complex thing. Here it's a polynomial, so you can raise it only to s equal to 0, 1, and so on. So this is s is greater than or equal to 1, and this is converges and belongs to k infinity. So it's like a real number, zeta values are a real number, and So I have defined it only for positive integers so on. So I'm just going to say a few things, but because we are looking at multi-zeta values and not the whole functions, I will just say that, you know, this thing has analytic continuation, this thing has, so actually there's a continuous big space where it makes sense, and you can talk about its zeros, it even satisfies something called Riemann hypothesis, that means it's zeros, rather than a priori being in here, I have much smaller k infinity. Like Riemann zeta function having zeros a priori in C, the non-trivial zeros are line up. If there is that kind of statement, yeah.
So you want an index there? I mean zeta A or K or?
Zeta S.
No, index somewhere. I mean, zeta S is usually used for Riemann zeta.
So I'm doing it for FQT. right?
But it depends on your fqt k.
So fqt, so I should have, so I'm saying that most of the time I will be doing this fqt, right? So I will just drop it from the notation.
No, you said k.
So
I thought k.
So k, k, okay. Huh? K is supposed to be general, but now when I say fqt, k is this, a is this, and so on, okay? So these are the same, unless I say I'm doing the general case.
Okay.
If special case, I use the same notation.
As
simple as that.
I'm using this. This is just an integer, but you can have a natural deviation. This is what you said, right?
That's right. So, first of all,
complex number, right?
Huh?
S cannot be complex number.
S cannot be complex number. So, this, okay. So, S, so I mean, I don't want to spend time on that. It can be, it's a space which looks like C infinity star plus GP. Okay? So, you have to think that zeta function is a function of characters rather than numbers. And then the correct way, this is a characteristic P, C infinity star, and this is P is in characteristic 0. So it's some kind of mixing. S doesn't sit, S sits in certain, I mean, integers sit in certain way in there, and there is a whole theory of that. But we are going to look at only these values. Let me just say how to do negative integers, okay? Because that's all really we will need. Because negative integers, then again, we can periodically interpolate also. So negative integers are done by just doing this. Is equal to D is equal to 0. To infinity, and I can say A belongs to A plus D, A is equal to D. Then this makes sense for S belongs to Z. Leave it as an exercise. Okay? So just like Riemann zeta function is transcendental on the sort of positive integers, but it is rational at negative integer, this thing actually turns out to be inside A if S is negative. Okay, so there is even integrality here. And integrality has to do, rather than rationality, it has to do with zeta function doesn't have a pole at s is equal to 1. Even zeta 1 makes sense. Right? So there is no pole at s is equal to 1. Because this converges because, in this case it converges because the terms tend to 0 and we are in a non-archimedean analysis. Okay, so this thing works like that. So the main, the theorem, so first I want to show you that Euler's theorem proof.
Maybe for the non-specialist, can you say again? Where is this zeta function taking place? So in power here is in 1 over t.
That's right.
And so why is that sum converging to the sum over all monic polynomials?
That's right. The sum over all monic polynomials.
So there are infinitely many. So we
that's right.
Terms in the power series. For like layman, so you will have infinitely polynomials that have a arbitrary high coefficient.
But it's in 1 over t, right? So that. The denominator is going, becoming bigger, so I mean this 1 over 8, this is going to tend to 0, so it converges.
Okay, so you're not only expanding these powers, so maybe I'm
just think about this, A is big, so A to the S is big, 1 over A to the S is small, it's going to 0 as A becomes bigger and bigger, degree goes to infinity, right, eventually. So the terms tend to 0, and that means series converges.
But then you're saying, where's S taking place, not in Z?
So, for that statement, I was in this case, S greater than or equal to 1. Right? S is a positive integer.
Yes.
You are absolutely right, if S is negative integer, terms will go to infinity.
Yes.
So, the as little the sum will not converge. I'm saying that if I write, rewrite it like this, that means I group the terms correctly, it converges.
Okay,
so, the individual terms don't tend to 0, but this thing actually becomes 0 eventually, and that's why it's a polynomial. Okay, that's a simple exercise. Alright, so now I want to just prove, to show you that, you know, this thing, so as I said, this was a rational function, very simple rational function, this is a highly transcendental function. Some properties, there is an analog of pi, and I'm just going to prove Euler's theorem for it, because I'm not going to prove anything else. I thought I would prove Euler's theorem, so this is Karlitz notice that Euler's proof just works. For this, so this is what Karlitz did in 1930s, and this was a special case in the general setting of what is Dirichlet modules, which were developed independently in 1974. But here is the Karlitz proof. So I look at this formula e to the z as that, and take a logarithmic derivative. Okay. So if I take a logarithmic derivative of e to the z is just z. Why is that? Because it's a q-linear polynomial. So when I take a derivative q to the n comes out. When it comes out, it becomes 0, right? Because they are in characteristic P. So only the first terms, and then I'm multiplying by Z. So I just get logarithmic derivative times Z is just, I get Z over E to the Z. And then let me just write down, yeah, then it is just, if I just, I write this phi tilde A as lambda, lattice lambda, then it just becomes, and if I use the product form, I take logarithmic derivative. Logarithmic derivative makes product to the sum, and what I get is 1 minus summation z over lambda over 1 minus z over lambda, which is same with the geometric series. It's summation, summation z over lambda to the n, and that becomes 1 plus summation zeta m over pi tilde to the n, z to the n, for n b1. Let me explain what I did here. So this is just the product formula, taking logarithmic derivative, expanding this by geometric series. Now lambda looks like pi tilde to the n, pi tilde to the n times a, the a's to the n becomes zeta to the n, and only even things survive because we are summing over all integers, the signs will cancel unless n is even. Okay, so it's an extremely elementary calculation. So this is exactly what Euler did, and now you notice that if I use the Taylor expansion, if I use this formula, I will get FQT coefficients. So this thing is in FQT, right? So this implies, so we have proved this is Carnot's Euler, that zeta of n, which is even, that means multiple of q minus 1, is pi tilde to the n times some k, where k is in k. Okay? And there is much more actually, you know, this thing can be decomposed into Bernoulli numbers, this can be decomposed into factorial, the Bernoulli numbers satisfy, Hildebrand-Rivet kind of theorem. So a lot of number theory kind of things are in there, von Fonstadt theorem, so if you are familiar with Bernoulli numbers, the factorials and so on, everything works. But at least we are only interested in this kind of issue today, right? K tilde n is, so that's exactly, zeta 2n is powers of 2 pi n, 2 pi raised to n, times, not powers, 2 pi raised to n times rational, this exact analog of that. And the interesting thing is, in function fields, we can handle odd integers. So in Herbert Top, you saw that, you know, what is the situation in number field case. So joint with Anderson, what we did in around 1988 is, what we did was, we actually showed, so theorem, zeta n is can be given as a logarithm, as a period of explicit extension of C tensor n by trivial module, equivalently it's logarithm of explicit algebraic point. Okay, so logarithm of explicit algebraic point. So, yeah, I mean, now, okay, so now I have to say positive lots of end. Things here, sorry?
Positive n.
This is all for positive n, thank you. N positive integer. Plus. Okay, thank you. So what I'm saying is, this C tensor n, just like this C had this period pi tilde, C tensor n also has an exponential function. You can get a period lattice and you can get a period. The other extension, like this extension of this, also have periods. They have exponential. Logarithm means inverse function to the exponential and so on. So, you know, I'm not defining these things, but these things exist. And zeta n can be given as period of this and logarithmic algebraic point. And this point, which is the Gaussian point, if and only if n is even. So that's what we prove. And this is like a motivic statement, so that not only it makes sense at infinity, but these zeta functions have interpolations at f, all finite primes of the function field. This is works for those also. Okay. So now let me just say what's the consequence of this is. Okay, by the way, Carlitz student Wade proved that pi tilde was transcendental over FQT. Right, so 2 pi is transcendental, so these values are transcendental. The conclusion of this, so you can do two things. You can, there are periods of these abelian modules, the theory is very well developed, so you do things like what Wilstolz did. This was achieved by Jing Yu, and Jing Yu did the transcendence theory for such modules, which is, so to say, goes in parallel there. and which also is like Hermite-Lindemann theorem, if you know the classical things. Logarithm of algebraic things are transcendental, right? Unless you are doing things like zero. So what it gives you is, so I think I will erase maybe this. So GDU, then using analog of transcendence theorems on periods and Hermite-Lindemann theorem. So GDU, so as a mnemonic, I will just say it's Hermite-Lindemann theorem. It's not, I mean, it's the analog Hermite-Lindemann analog. Implies that zeta n are all our r are transcendental. If I take zeta r divided by pi tilde to the r, these are transcendental because it's not a torsion point. That's the Hermite-Lindemann theorem. Even if you take zeta v, so I have defined, you can interpolate these functions using like Kubota-Leopold techniques. These things r is transcendental. So all v-adic things are also transcendental. Now let me say a couple of things about this. C tensor n is something rather than just numbers, it deals with metrics and so on. So these logarithms are the vector functions. And the logarithm which matters here is a deformation of polylogarithm. So there is a nine parallel. So okay, let me just say how the logarithm looks like.
What is V?
Zeta V are the v-adic interpolation of zeta for V a prime of A. So if you take a V a prime of A, this is like p-adic zeta function. Okay, so I just said they exist and it implies all these things by basic transcendence theory. And what I wanted to say here was, so E of Zi I wrote down, right? Summation Z to the n, Z to the q to the n over dn. So the inverse function logarithm is summation Z to the q to the n over ln. I won't write down a formula. But the Nyman polylogarithm would be Z to the q to the Z to the q to the k. Z to the q to the n ln over k, and I want to say that log of C tensor n is a deformation of that. Okay, just a remark. So, you know, polylogs are not the exact function, and then there are all these analogs, which block Wigner functions and so on. So, somehow in C tensor n, in the motivic category, we just get good logarithm straight. So, it can be expressed in terms of polylogarithm, but you can also get it straight.
But LZ then corresponds to log 1 minus E. Not logs.
Yeah, so this is, but as I said, we are already translating this. We are translating from 0 to 1. This pi along?
I think probably testing, right?
I would hope it's testing.
You know, two months ago, I gave a course on Monday Zeta Values Leon, and in the middle of the course, again, fire alarm went off. So, this is an explosive stuff. Fire alarm went up there.
Since the problem is you, right?
That's what I'm saying. It's explosive stuff. So, that's what I'm saying. It's explosive stuff. Okay, so, yeah, so your question is absolutely correct. So, this analogy is exponentially, remember, I was doing exponential equal to zero. So there is this translation of one going everywhere. So there are some certainly we can operate.
Is that an inverse function of sorts?
This is an inverse function.
Ah.
This one is inverse function. This is a nine logarithm.
So one is the inverse of E and not log.
Sorry?
So in the classical case, you have log as the inverse function of exponential function.
That's what I'm doing.
No, you have V1.
Yeah, but I'm calling it log.
Yeah, but you can call it what you want, but
there is no 1 minus Z, for example.
Okay, 1.
Okay, let me just say that.
What?
It's just log Z.
Oh.
Okay. I mean, things don't work similarly.
Yeah.
The correct way to think is, this is exponential, the universe and the logarithm. Okay? This is Nyman polylogarithm, and the deformation motivically you get is a good one, which gives you this thing. Okay? So, I used too much time, so I have to speed up. So let's just start talking. So couple of remarks actually. So this hits the zeta n actually explicitly. This was done even before block cutter was formulated. So we were familiar with Dalin's L values conjectures and P1 minus 3 points, but this did things on the nose before block cutter. This is sort of a historical interesting it worked and so on. So now I want to go to multi-zeta. Oh, and one more remark. So I have, so this is, I said, this is FQT. I'm doing FQT. But some of this thing can be done for higher genus. So I did it for class number one higher genus, and Anderson did it in general. And that is, again, the story is similar, but it's not like Zagier conjectures, because Zagier conjectures are, do they work for number fields, any number field? Here we are working for any function field. He is doing relative case, we are doing absolute case, and absolute case itself has this kind of feature. So it's just a remark I wanted to make because Herbert is here. Oh. Okay, so now I talk about multi-zeta values. So multi-zeta values, you know, if there is an order, if you look at it and try to copy the definition, there is an order there. And what is an order? You might say that because you define what positive is, you might say that n greater than m, if n minus m is monic. You can do that, but that doesn't turn out to be good. But on polynomials, there is no natural order. So you can try to take an order, that also doesn't work very well. So the correct thing to do is use the partial order given by the degree. So here is how I'm going to define things. So let me define SDK to be summation 1 over a to the k. A belongs to A plus, and I just put D, that means degree D. A plus of D, and S less than D means I sum over degree less than D. And then I inductively define this iteratively. So I can define SD S1 S2 to be SD S1 times S less than D S2, and so on. And then I define zeta of S1 to Sk as summation 1 over summation SD S1 Sk, which I can sort of say write down as 1 over A1 to the S1, A2 to the S2, and so on, Ak to the Sk, where degree A1 is bigger than degree A2, and so on. This belongs to k infinity. SIs are always, I will be, in the first part, I will be just z plus. Okay, so that's the definition, right? I'm just taking a multi thing. I'm not using the order, I'm using the partial order given by degrees. Okay? And that, once definition, it converges again. Actually, all values it converges, there is no one, just like zeta case. So it converges, so you get more convergent multi zeta values. So this is the multi zeta values. And as I said, the other order and so on doesn't work, but already, since this is not an order, it's immediately the sum shuffle relation, which we saw a few times, just fails. So zeta A times zeta B is zeta A plus B, so zeta A times zeta B. Classically, if you have sum, then usually it is zeta A plus B. This is when N1 is equal to N2, N1 greater than N2 and N1 less than N2. This is false. So this is the classical sum shuffle. It's, so let me just say it's false in general. Integral shuffle is false. Duality is false. So everything sort of what you are used to doesn't work. Okay. So then let me say what works. But before that, let me say that it what we had to do. So first, it was not clear that the shuffle relation works, so it was not clear this linear span of multi-zeta values in algebra, right? So, but then, you know, I conjectured, first, I conjectured some recipe of what should work. So instead of this thing, there are many more terms come up, okay? So depending on A and B, billions more terms can come up. I will write down the exact formula later. So first I gave a recursive recipe, of how, what is the conjectural sum shuffle relation. I did it for q is equal to 2, my master student Lara Rodriguez did it for any q, and then I proved, I did not prove the conjectures, we just proved that it works for some shuffle relation, and then my Lara Rodriguez, who was a PhD student by then, he worked out, so I gave a recipe. So this is only zeta, you can put multi zeta times multi zeta also, right? So we proved that all of these things, there is a they form an algebra. This is a, there is a shuffle relation preserving weight and depth filtration, and I gave a recipe. Then he worked out the formulas. And very funny thing happened that his PhD thesis was defended, and the same day my past student simplified the formula. So I'm going to write down the formula by Yuzhen Chen. So this formula is, the correct formula is, plus, so I will just write it in terms of zetas. I had already done multi zetas. That is 0 less than 0 less than 3, q minus 1 plus j, minus 1 to a minus 1 binomial coefficient. Now, why is it so complicated to discover it? The problem is, if you have played with binomial coefficients mod p, especially over finite fields, and so on, it depends a lot whether these things are zero or what these things are, depending on the base q expansions of all these numbers which are involved. So there is hugely complicated combinatrics which makes this thing. So sometimes, you know, this comparable sizes of a of b, there will be thousands of terms, only two terms. Even this term might cancel, so things look very complicated to sort of see, but eventually this was sort of directly proved. And the interesting thing is, so the shuffle relation, so this is I call some shuffle relation, it is called shuffle or Pauli shuffle in this workshop, and it depends on A, B and Q. So for each FQT, see, for a given function field, we are doing infinitely many function fields for rational things. For each one, it's a different one. It depends on A, B, and Q. That's exactly the same, and things are more complicated for higher things. But that's the sum shuffle. But at least this is a quadratic relation which reduces the polynomial relations to linear relations. So then we look at the linear relations. So so that's the shuffle relations. And I just wanted to say the sort of how things worked out at that point. So the next thing what we did was, so it's, see, this multi-zeta value, by the way, it's not even clear they are non-zero, right? In classical, when you add positive numbers, you don't get, you get positive number and non-zero. In function field, things can cancel. So one thing I proved was it's non-zero, and that was used to prove it's transcendental. So I'll just make this remark that it's not even clear that these things are non-zero as given, because there is a lot of cancellation which can happen. Just like here, there is a lot of cancellation which makes this weird when you see it numerically. Okay, so the multi-zeta values. So the next thing, again, joined with Anderson. This is maybe 2007 or so, what we did. So I'll again write it very vaguely because I don't define the terms. So this multi-zeta values, so the MZV can be expressed as PDS. So I'm going to just say can be R PDS. R PDS. So all of these are PDS of explicitly constructed iterated extensions so looking like zeta is not to SK of C tensor SI. Okay? So as I said, these things are like Z, SI, so this is mixed, so this is basically what I call mixed. Classically it will be called Tate module, here maybe mixed Kalish, Tate, Anderson in some order modules. Right? So these modules are Anderson's G modules, and these are like Kalish modules and this kind of modules. You can express this explicitly as a PDS. And as a corollary, you get lots of transcendence results. And by the way, so I mentioned this Hermite-Riemann theorems earlier. By this time, the transcendence theory developed much well, much more in function fields. And due to work of Anderson, Branovell, Papanikolaos. So Anderson, so this is a different Anderson, Branovell, Papanikolaos. And then Papanikolaos. Chen Chang, Jingyu, and Chang, They developed a lot more transcendence and algebraic independence theory, and basically what we know is the analog of Grothendieck's period conjecture for these motifs. And what that means is the relation between the periods come from the relations between the motifs. So in particular, if I go back to Zeta research, our earlier result of 1988 using this stronger transcendence result implies that so all these people together and earlier work together would imply that all algebraic relations between zeta values and period and pi tildes come from two relations, the Euler-Carlitz-Euler relation, that even in integers is power of pi, and special characteristic p relation that zeta s p is zeta s raised to p. This has, of course, doesn't work in characteristics. No? This is a relation in characteristic p, it just follows from the definition. And so in the corollary, what you get is that all the zeta r, all zeta r and pi tilde are algebraic independent. That's what I was saying, algebraic independent. So there are similarly lots of corollaries of multi-zeta values, of results of multi-zeta values. This is again lots of basically by Chang and Yu using this machine. What they can prove is this multi-zeta value are transcendental ratios in the different weights will be transcendental and so on. So and then there is much more. So I will not go into transcendence theory. I'm just saying that that's where we know a lot. What I proved, so these are relations, so notice something here. We were looking at Q, the analog of Q was FQT. These relations and the sum shuffle relations, if you write them classically, they have coefficients in Z. Here they are not coefficients in, not in FPT, but just FP. Because the prime field in characteristic is, P is FP and not FPT. In characteristic 0 it's Q. So these are relations over FP, let me just say that. But there are more relations over FQT. And I proved, for example, the Euler's relation, which everybody is familiar with. So I proved that the zeta 1, 2, let me just write it like this, zeta 1, Q minus 1 is zeta Q over T minus T to the Q. So this is, I call it Euler relation, it's Euler type relation. Euler relation, there is no factor, right? Zeta 1, 2 is zeta 3. That never happens in multi-zeta values. Multi-zeta values, two zeta things cannot be equal unless they are the same. But with FQT coefficient, they can be, right? So this is, this then zeta 1, Q square minus 1 I proved for something like zeta Q square. So all this is, of course, we preserve the weight. But 1 minus T to the Q. And so on, and things get even more complicated like that. So now what I want to do is I want to describe very quickly what the sort of dimension and basis conjectures we have. So the, in short, actually, classically the conjectures are combinatorially very complicated, but they are conjecturally understood. Right now we don't have a complete conjectural description of all the relations. These are the shuffle relations, and we have a recipe now, conjecture recipe of how to generate all the relations, but there's still work to be done of making it into formulas. Just like that earlier recipe took some time to get into a formula, we need some more things to get into a formula. But let me say it like this. So first we focused on this kind of things. So I made a definition. Multi-zeta value zeta 1 s1 to sk is called zeta-like if zeta of that divided by zeta single zeta, actual zeta, is algebraic, and by transcendence theory this is known to be equivalent to rational. So zeta-like if the multi-zeta value just reduces to depth 1. Okay, and in even weight, call it Eulerian. So myself and my past student, Lara Rodriguez, what we did, we conjectured, so we have full conjecture all Eulerian triples. So we prove some, and conjecture there are no more, basically. And we conjecture several restrictions on zeta, like we prove several families are zeta like, that means in odd way, and conjecture. And then Cheyu Chang and Liu and their students conjectured even more. They ran even more programs to do this. So what we did here was just a simple continued fractions numerical things to see whether something is rational or not, if the ratio is rational or not. And the thing is, we had a technique that if it turns out to be something is Eulerian, then actually in Eulerian case we could prove it. And Cheyu Chang and Jingyu developed a method so that if you can guess something, you can just prove it automatically. So you can just check it one by one. So I want to do classical theory now. So I am back to complex multi-zeta values. And I want to say that, it looks that, people didn't really systematically look at this. Okay. So I asked several people. Yeah, question?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, same algebraic number is equivalent to same rational number.
That's right.
So that's
a transcendence result which I'm just hiding. This was proved by Cheyu Chang. I mean, it follows from the sort of the philosophy of motivic thing. So it's sort of true. It should be true in classical case also. Okay, but you could prove it in the function field case. So whenever we can prove it, it's always rational, and whenever we prove not, we can show it's not transcendent. But one by one. And the whole thing to do is everything. So classically, so usual multi-zeta values. So, and this thing is complicated. I was going to write down something, but because of the time restriction, I'm not going to write down. So I can give you several references. Because lots of complicated families are there. So I looked at what's the classical situation, and looked just at the literature, and I asked, I asked Xavier, Hoffman, Zhao, and Francis Brown, and so on. And what you found is these tuples and their duals. So it looks like 2, 1k. So 1k means one repeated k times. 3, 1 to the n. 2nk. And a longer one is 2n1, 2n3. N times and then 2n, and the duals are all the zeta like, are all the zeta like that we could find. Okay, so I looked at the literature, I asked several people, and these are the only things we find, and we have done the same calculation we did here. We ran it over number field. Now Herbert tells me now it's multi-zeta values are actually implemented in Parry and efficiently. So like 100 times more than what we did can be done very quickly. So we'll try to do that, or maybe somebody should do that. So is this true or false? I mean, that's a sort of a question. Okay. So I asked several people, and then nobody knew anything more. Kaneko wrote programs. Yeah.
Baum and Bradley.
So this is this. What about
when they get the result about being a power of pi?
So that will be Eulerian. Mm-hmm. So that is contained in this, I think. So we can talk about. That's why I want to mention that because you are in the audience. I asked Zhao, Zagier, Hoffman, and so on. They don't know anything more than this. But we can talk. This is a question. So, and then Kaneko, so 2 months ago, I gave this talk, so Kaneko was there, and he ran a program, and up to weight 16 in all depths, this seems to be the only one, up to weight 16. But now if there is a good implementation in Parry and so on, we can go much beyond and see whether, that would make, again, say that number field case is sort of combinatorially much simpler than this, because here you get much more complicated kind of families, and here it seems to stop this complexity. So another funny thing happened. So Francis Brown said he didn't know, he said that his technology cannot do that. But given Eulerian, just like we can do in function field, given Eulerian thing, he can test whether it is Eulerian or not. So that time when I said, this was a conjecture of, I think, Broadhurst and somebody. So I mentioned this to Francis Brown. He said he has to try because he can do one by one, but this is the whole family. And a few days afterwards, I got a letter from Francis Brown. He proved that conjecture. But in after 2 months again, it's already in archives. So somebody else proved it by different method. Ah, that's your student. What's his name, Steve, Charles?
Stephen Charlton.
Huh?
Stephen Charlton.
S-H-A?
Charlton.
Just oh, like, Charlton.
Just like football.
Yesterday I was trying to find that thing on, and it has Zeta something in the title, so it was hard to find.
Yes.
So I will write it down. Okay. So, yeah, he did it. I mean, Francis Brown, you know, did it by his method, and Charlton, I mean, I saw it on articles in like a couple of months later, similar things. But again, we don't know anything more, so I just wanted to say that this is an interesting question. And the point is, the Eulerian corresponds to some torsion-like phenomena, and the zeta-like has some explicitly constructed motifs. It means something very fundamental. So these things have some meaning, and classically you want to figure out exactly what happened. Okay, so now my other PhD student, Josh Todd. So Josh Todd, he got his PhD last year, so 2015. What he did was, he did what Zakia did classically. He numerically looked at all, so now the algebraic relations are reduced to linear relations because of the first theorem. So he looked at all linear relations by basically LLL method. The LLL method is a lattice reduction method to find approximately a solution of, getting a small vector in a lattice. That can be used here, that's what Zakia did, because he had already LLL implemented in Paris. So he had to do function field LLL, and for each Q he has to do again, right? Because we are looking at infinitely many functions, of course he cannot do infinitely many. So he looked for small Qs. For each small Q he had to run these programs. And in function field case, things blow up exponentially in Q and exponentially in degree. So it was a sort of long calculation, and of course, you know. So what he came out with, so before that I had conjectures that the Euler's relation is the first relation, first weight relation where there is a non-trivial relation. Okay. So earlier I had conjectured that all multi-zeta values up to weight q minus 1 are linearly independent, and weight q, that's the only relation is one which I wrote down. So his calculations confirm that, but then, so he confirms that no linear non-trivial, of course, relations in weights less than q minus 1. The Euler is the only one in weight q. And then he gets analog of Zakia formulas, though this is a conjecture. And conjecture, so confirms means what? This is all numerical, right? Confirms means all numerical. It's not, nothing is proved here. And conjecture that the dn for n greater than the q is dn minus 1 plus dn minus 2 plus dn minus q. So instead of Zakia's two-term relation, which is like skips one, he has this as a conjecture. And he has numerically proved it up to certain weights and certain degrees, and then up, depending on q, up to q plus 5 and so on. So there is some kind of evidence for this. So you can easily write down the generating series for this. And earlier I had a conjecture that this NZ means if I just take all SIs less than equal to q minus 1, they are linearly independent. So I can, with this conjecture, Todd's conjectures, I can refine it to the basis conjecture. I have a basis conjecture. So in weights less than or equal to q minus 1, take all NZV as a basis. So it's inductive. So inductive process, in which less than or equal to q minus 1, take all NZVs. And for dn, to get weight n, append
at the start, prepend I should say, maybe append at the start, I do basis in, so to the basis tuples in weight n minus r for I less than equal to. So in other words, there is a basis with all entries up to q. So this is like Hoffman thing, which is basically proved for motivic zeta functions from Francis Brown, that you can use 2, 3, 2, 3. Here you use 1, 2, 3 up to q minus 1, so this a lot of time, and sometimes q. Okay? And that's how it seems to work. Okay? And then, as I said, we understand now the process of how these relations are generated. So, I had this family of relations, 1q minus 1, 1q square minus 1, and so on. And I thought the shuffle relations together, which, I mean, not shuffle relations, but ideas of shuffle together with those relations should generate a lot. And to my surprise, the Todd's calculation showed that only that Euler's relation. So, here is what it seems like. The Euler's relation with a few processes which we have, which are basically shuffle things, except you have to mix up several degrees and so on. So there are some technical things, and we are trying to simplify the process, generate all the relations. So we understand the process of generating all the relations, not yet nice formulas. So we don't have any Hopf algebra or, you know, product, even the product. There is only one shuffle relation. Classically there are two shuffle relations. There is only one shuffle relation. For FT coefficients, that just means that they are, things are linearly independent over FP. They are not linearly independent over FPT, but over FP. And if you include FPT, even still then it's clear, because otherwise, if this was not true, there will be relations which will violate that. So there is some reasons why to believe, I mean, this is not proved, but almost proved from the motivic philosophy, that there is only one shuffle relation here, and the other thing is slightly looking slightly different. Okay, so I have to say several things very fast now. So there is no fundamental group connection yet. I mean, that's the thing, no K theory thing. We can talk about associative, because it's just a generating function of multi zeta values, but without understanding the relations, we don't know its properties. Okay, so on the other hand, what we can do, so the thing is, even though we don't understand anything related to the fundamental group picture, even Bayes' theorem works completely differently in characteristic P, what we can do and what seems to work is what works on the unipotent quotient with the iterated mixed motive, tape motive structure. That seems to work perfectly. So, you know, that is the hope that things are correct. And there is also Galois story, which is the Ehara power series. So I will just mention the result Anderson and I had about the Ehara power series and maybe end. And I'll just, okay, so I'm like, let me just say a couple of things. So there is V-adic interpolation and finite version zeta story, and the two current students, Chibin Shen and Shui Shi, are working on the finite version in function field and V-adic story. And I'm glad to hear a lot of progress on this from David Jose and Furusho. So they are trying to do what they seem to have already achieved in function field. Okay, these current students. But there are some results are different, but I have no time to talk about that, unfortunately. There is also Chan and Mishiba work on the V-adic polylog values and the vanishing and connecting with the Eulerian. So I will end with saying what the Ehara power series story is. And so again, I will say it very. I did not manage my time too well. So here is the theorem. So this is joint with Anderson. And the theorem is that if you have V a prime of A, so this is A is FQT again, but I am using the notation, A is for FQT. Then there is an one pole cycle from the absolute Galois group of K to A, V-adic completion of A, V, which is a power series in that. So first of all, this is already infinitely many copies of Cp. So these are very wild things in function field. In Nihara case, you will get ZP. This is 2 Yurush compared to that. There is one co-cycle which becomes trivial on the cyclotomic fields. So you have sigma goes to an power series in Z, which is I sigma, which you call Ihara power series. And it's a one co-cycle, so I can, in terms of cyclotomic character, so it's you get a huge representation of GK over K cyclotomic. You see, it's a huge representation in a power series ring. So it's a one co-cycle. And let me just read a couple of things. So its coefficients, so first of all, its values, it interpolates all the Gauss-Jacobi sum over the periodic tower, just like Ihara power series does. Its coefficient contains the Lin-Sule co-cycles, which we cannot express in terms of K-theory, but which we can express in terms of cyclotomic modules which occur here. So there is a Sule's construction of the Lin-Sule co-cycles using higher circular units. That's the thing which we can do. And the second thing which is that the Lin-Sule co-cycle is the co-cycle which gives you the extension, which gives you the points of the zeta-ends. That we can do. So all that information is packed on the Galois size in this kind of gadget. And let's stop. That's right.
So maybe the dimension should be the same, right?
Dimension would be this minus g, n minus q minus 1.
Oh, you can consider the periodic. It's not the same.
Mm. Yeah. So, okay, but let me say something. So, we are not yet at that level. So, I have periodic interpolation. But the periodic interpolation is not the same as the periodic actual good zeta value, right? So that's what my student is figuring out. So this is like relating some interpolation formula with your or the Lin's periodic zeta function. But so what I'm saying is once, so there are, because of the motivic reason, there is a periodic zeta values. For that, this condition is correct. What we are right now dealing with is trying to connect that with the function I explicitly constructed. And that's different.
So in the periodic case, zeta En for even,
yeah, it's
zero.
It's zero. Right? Ah. Yeah. Zeta V, that we know, that I have proved, I mean, that we actually follows very easily. Mm. So that is true. See, periodic zeta is understood. Periodic multi zeta, there are several variants, right? Like you saw several variants, but your variants are actually satisfying all the correct relations. The variance I have is actual by actual interpolation. The actual interpolation and motivic thing agrees in depth 1, but not in higher depth. But there is a relation. And so the correct one will satisfy exactly this.
Is that the thought? Is this thought? No.
No, no, this is not. The thought didn't touch the. This is a new student, so this is Shirin Shin. And Shubi Shin. So they have some results about zeta values at negative integers. What are their zeros? There are finite versions of multi zeta values, there are universal relations between them. So those are the. So we saw that in some talks in the number UK. So they are still trying to do some things are, as you see, they are quite different, right? The actual relations are quite different. Philosophically, there is a, at a larger level, things seem to work very well with no connection with fundamental group, but with good connection with the motive picture. That's how things seem to work.
Conjugate is independent of B.
It's it's a conjecture without really checking anything. It's a conjecture because you know, things seem to work similarly. So we have not done any enough calculation to make it call it a conjecture. So it's a wild guess, right? Like the same. Yeah. Because things work exactly similarly. So far, with the known changes, we know exactly what to do. So it seems that this is the correct one. Oh, sorry. So I already wrote. Oh no, I wrote it here. Right? Yeah. Q minus one. This was the correct one. I thought I wrote this. So you have to subtract that.
So in characteristic zero, when you're talking about these extensions of Kallet's modus, so in characteristic zero you construct these, say, by K-theory or something.
Right.
How do you construct them in the function field?
So that's the thing. So the extension groups and so on can be done, but they don't connect with the usual K-theory at all. So some people are trying to work out what is the correct K-theoretical thing, but that seems to be hard. But there is also work by Kirti Joshi on the, he's trying to understand the categorical things a little bit more, but this is in infancy, I would say. We don't know correct things yet. So K-theory connection is, but as I said, Bloch Kato can be expressed in K-theory, but K-theory conjecturally is an extension of motives, and that we can do. So, you know, that part is missing, but we can do it at the website. So. Yeah?
So, you have a conjecture on including the depth as well?
No. So, actually, there is, I mean, so as I said, we can compute, recently we can compute efficiently.
Ah, okay.
So, actually, right now the computers in Taiwan are running to do that. And you know, I made some conjecture and I'm checking thing in lab 2. But, and it's not the modular forms, it doesn't, so first we guessed naively like, you know, what you are thinking would work. And that doesn't seem to work, so there is more subtle something else going on. But what, we don't know yet. So I just have some kind of pattern recognition conjecture without really understanding, and we are checking it a lot. Yeah.
So you have a zeta one, right?
Zeta 1 makes sense, right?
And this is a period called its module.
Say that again?
This is a period.
That's right, that's right.
And you know this is a zeta number.
That's right. That's right. Zeta 1 makes sense, like Euler constant kind of thing, zeta 1 makes sense. And recently, actually, this is a totally different subject, but I had some zeta 1 makes sense, periodic zeta 1 makes sense. So I have some results connecting Wilson primes to higher diversity of periodic zeta 1, and that I proved also in number field case where periodic zeta 1 has to be replaced by Euler periodic Euler gamma constant defined by Grover and his students. But then it works. So there is a totally different kind of theorem where this analogy works. There, of course, zeta 1 and periodic zeta 1 diverge, so we have to take Euler constant. Renormalize them.
Thanks again.